Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 28, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 9, verse 28. Excuse me. Just before we begin, I want to give you my telephone number. You might want to call me and leave a prayer request on my voicemail, or you might have a question for Mystery Moment, or you might just want to tell me you love me because I love you. My area is 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. And now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 28. We left off last time with Jesus casting out a lunatic spirit out of a young man. A lunatic spirit, we learned, is the spirit of the devil himself. And the father of the young lad told Jesus, "I brought him to your disciples. They could not cast him out." So he brought him to the master. And Jesus cast that devil, the literal spirit of the devil, out of the young lad. And we left off with the boy arising.
And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?"
Now remember that Jesus earlier had breathed the Holy Spirit upon these disciples and given them that ability, as he breathes upon you the ability to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And he sent them out two by two, and they had wonderful success. They were preaching the gospel, they were healing the sick, they were casting out devils. They even came to Jesus, another gospel tells us, said, "Master, even the devils obey us." But something happened here. They had met a demon they never knew before. You see, it's one thing, and all of you are called to cast out demons who are Christians. That's part of your job. It's one thing to cast out, I call them demon light, like sexual aberration, like pornography, like murder, like thief, like lying, like gossiping, like all those kind of bad things. A little exercise before breakfast, demon light. But when you come upon someone who's totally possessed of the devil, this is not the time for hothouse lilies. So Jesus is going to explain.
29, and he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting."
This was the devil himself, okay? Always, even in this kind, you use the name of Jesus in the grounds of the blood covenant. I want you to know, Christian, that you know that in your arsenal to fight the devil and to keep free and victorious, you have the arsenal of prayer, you have the arsenal of the Holy Spirit, and you have the in your arsenal, you have the arrows, the weapons, weapon of prayer, weapon of Holy Spirit, and the weapon of the Word of God. Understand?
Yes.
But one weapon that you might not use too much is fasting. Now, most people just say, "Oh my God, that just means I don't eat." No, here's what it means. You fast from food, but not water, and you feast on the Word of God. And as you feast on the Word of God, fasting from food, you pray the Word of God back to the Father. You pray out loud the Word of God as you feast on the Word. You will hear the Word of God, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and your faith will be built up so you can cast out the devil out of people. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now let me help all of you. Here's a little fast that I like to use, and it always it just always is successful. I call it a 9-hour prayer novena. I get my petition known. This is when I'm trying to pray for someone for healing or a new job or victory in their marriage or whatever they need, salvation. And what you do is you get your petition to God and you get off by yourself. You don't run hither, thither, and yon. You take a day off, go into your secret closet, and it's called a 9-hour novena. And you pray every hour on the hour that petition using this scripture. Jesus said, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And all the while there, you shut yourself off. You fast from noise, you fast from your internet, from your cell phone, from interruptions. Just shut up by yourself. Go into your secret place and do it. It always is beautiful. And one of the people will be blessed in that is you.
30. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know him.
Now Jesus' crucifixion was coming up, and he was training his disciples to reign, to build the church, and they weren't quite ready. And so he didn't want the crowds. The crowds were coming. Of course, Jesus was very famous. I think the crowds weren't coming so much for Jesus, but coming for the miracles and the loaves. Do you know that today most Christians come to Jesus for the stuff instead of coming to Jesus? Do you know that if Jesus never did another thing for me and I were out in the woods homeless, I would still love him, I would still seek his face? Can you say that? Is most of your prayer, "Give me something, do this for me"? You're not seeking the kingdom, you're seeking your agenda.
31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, "The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of man, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day."
Now he's trying to get it into them. See, the disciples have got it made. They think Jesus is going to set up his kingdom right there, and there is in a cabinet. So man, this is a time they can't imagine this one who's raising the dead would die himself. It does not compute. They don't want to hear this. They shut their ears to this. I understand that, don't you?
32. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house.
Capernaum means city of compassion. Obviously, in reading the Bible, Jesus has a house there. We don't know if he built it himself. You know, Joseph was a carpenter, his stepdad, and Jesus was a carpenter. He could have built it. Maybe he rented it, but it was a house.
Ask them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?"
In other words, Jesus said, "What were all of you talking back as we came here?" Let me tell you something. Jesus knew what they were talking about, and it wasn't very virtuous. And he just wanted them to tell him so we could help him get it straightened out. Jesus knows your heart, all about you, but he wants you to tell him what's on your heart so he can help you get it straightened out.
34. But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest.
They were ashamed of themselves. They didn't tell him because they were saying, "Okay, he's going to be the king of the whole earth. He's going to take over the Roman Empire. Wonder which one of us is going to get to be the vice president."
35. And he sat down and called the 12.
Time to train, you disciples. Do you know that you're being trained to reign? We're in the fifth trump, a time of learning. The sixth trump is the Antichrist, and the seventh is Jesus. Only the Zadok will gather around Jesus when he comes, and for 1,000 years the Zadok elect will teach, but 1,000 years with God is as a day. We'll be in our spiritual bodies. Reign means to teach, Revelation 20. You're being trained to be a part of that beautiful time of learning during that 1,000 years reign.
And saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all."
You want to be the first? You want to be the top dog? Here's how you do it. Christian, You want to be number one in the kingdom of Jesus Christ next to him? Here's how you do it. You be the least of the least. And you serve, serve, serve. The word of God wherever you can. Like one lady said, I'm just a little chambermaid. You don't try to seek the glory or the fame. People don't know what you're doing. God sees in secret. He'll reward you openly. It's when you can lose yourself and give yourself to a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we serve him by serving others. That's the least of the least in the world's opinion, but that's first in the kingdom of God.
36, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them.
Now this is just a visual aid. Jesus always spoke in parables, metaphor, so he's going to explain this a little more. By the way, Jesus says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself shall be humbled.
But when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, 37, whosoever shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me.
Another gospel makes it a little bit clearer. He says that Jesus says there, except you become as a little child, you shall no way enter into the kingdom of God. Now that means everybody under the sound of my voice, except you are to God as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. Not a one of you has seen the blood of Jesus, but you have believed as a child that Jesus shed his blood, that blood is on the mercy seat and will forever wash all of your sins away. What is a little child? What does he mean? A little child who has a loving parent will believe whatever that parent says. Let's say that the good daddy who loves his child says, my darling little child, I'm going to take you to Disney World just as soon as I get a day off from work. Now the little child knows daddy's telling the truth. And the little child doesn't run to mama and say, mama, daddy said he's going to take me to Disney World when he gets a day off, but do you think he really means it? In other words, you know, my friend, I want to tell you, daddy says he's going to take me to Disney World, but I'm not sure. One day I believe it, and one day I'm not sure. Listen, Christian, your daddy, your father wrote you an instruction book, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Every promise in the book is his. Every promise is yes and amen. He's not a man that he should lie. What he says, he watches over his word. And so you read the word, and when you receive the promise and you do the if, then you believe, nothing wavering. God said, believe my word, believe my prophets. You don't one day believe and the next day not believe. In James, in the New Testament, chapter 1, James says, if you waver in your faith, you will never receive nothing. You're like a ship tossed on the sea. You don't get your request because one day you say, I believe, and the next day you doubt. One day you believe, the next day you doubt. Now, that's in God's book. He wrote that. So what do we have to do? Decide once and for all. God's word is truth. John 17:17. Now you know that daddy is going to take that child. It might be delay because daddy's got to wait to get a day off from work, but he's going to take the child to Disney World. God hears you, but every time, one day you believe, the next day you don't, you've canceled the whole thing and you don't get your answer. Now that's a tough thing, but this is true. We're in this for real. We're in this for truth. We want to do it right because our God is right. Amen. Believe him like a little child. But you say, but the doctor says, well, the doctor's doing the best he can. Whose report will you believe? The banker says, whose report will you believe? The news says, my spouse says, my friend says, my work says, whose report will you believe? You're not being foolish. This world is on just thin ice. God's word will stand forever. Make up your mind that you're going to believe God's word and stick with it. Sticking with it.
38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And he forbade him, because he followeth not us.
Now, the disciples are a work in progress. Disciples means a student of God's word. They are not yet apostles. They have not yet graduated so they can be an apostle, which is a sent one. And if you're not careful, you begin to think you're very important. In other words, there are denominations in the body of Christ. There's not supposed to be a denomination. Paul says, have no divisions, no schisms, which means division, denomination. But people break the rule and have denominations, and some say, you must be like us. Well, you don't ever want people to follow you anyway. Do you know a true person of God who's called? They should be respected. It's a high and holy calling. And they should be respected and loved and blessed. And that's part of God's plan. But the true one is always going to get you to go to Jesus. Look at these disciples. Some of them wrote books. We're not worshiping the disciples. We worship the Lord they taught, Jesus Christ. So be careful about making anyone in the body of Christ a star. We've got too many stars. You know, when you're on television and you get those pretty clothes and you go into makeup and people begin to adore you, you begin to think you're a star like in Hollywood. Should be no stars in the body of Christ. Jesus is the star. Yet we highly respect each other. Do you understand?
Yes.
I have learned that many of the people in the body of Christ who get almost to a star, and many of them are stars, sadly enough, what happens, they've never had any experience up before people. They don't know how to emotionally handle the adoration they get. God trained me right early. At 3 years old, with my little blonde curls and my blue eyes, I walked across the church stage and I said, the Lord is my shepherd. And they just clapped for me. And you know, in school, I was always chosen to be the star in the play. Then I went to college. I was chosen to be the star in the play. I never sought it. They would call me up in theater. Would you play the star part? Well, what I learned, the adoration never went to my head because I knew they didn't know me. They were just enjoying the person. See, I know how to handle that. In other words, if you clap for me, thank you. If you don't, thank you. Anyway, I'm just going to do my job. And so, see, a lot of ministers don't know that. We should not be giving out Hollywood awards for music. I'm a musician. I never got an award in my life for my music. I even got a music school and trained a lot of people. Nobody's ever given me an award. I don't want it. I didn't do it for that. I'm not a star. Jesus is a star.
39, and Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man that shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. 40, for he that is not against us is on our part.
And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if God be for you, who can be against you?
41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink.
Now that doesn't mean literal water. That's a good thing to do if someone's thirsty. It's talking about the living water. Whosoever shall give you a word in due season, fitly spoken, like apples of gold in pictures of silver. When you are hurting, someone comes and gives you the word of God that brings peace. When you are sick, they bring you that hope that with Jesus' stripes you are healed. When you are broke, they give you that word that God will supply your needs. That's the living water.
In my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward.
Jesus says he sees in secret and he rewards you openly. Judgment Day for Christians can be a great reward day. For all those times that you hurt with someone and comforted them there And you walked in when there was nobody else, and you were there for them, and you sent the word of God to someone. You witnessed, you led someone to Jesus, or at least you tried to. You helped get the word of God out to the world. You comforted someone. You went to the homeless and you fed them, and you gave somebody a ride, and you bought them what they needed, and you loved them, and you cried with them, and when they couldn't take it anymore, you held them in your arms. You gave them the word. There's a reward. Hallelujah. God sees in secret. He rewards you openly. And for every time that you witness to another and tell the story of the beautiful word of God, there's a reward when you do it with a pure heart.
42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he were cast into the sea.
Good Lord. Psalm 105, verse 15, God says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. The little ones represent God's elect. God doesn't have too many people on this planet who are totally sold out to him. The elect were chosen from before the foundation of the earth. They've been sent out in every generation, the very elect here at the last. He says, I've only got 7,000 on the planet. Isn't that something to know? God's elect are called the apple of his eye. He's not showing favoritism. He just doesn't have many that he can count on. See, they were chosen then when they stood up for him in our spiritual bodies in the world that then was, the first earth age when Satan rebelled. The elect of God's apple of his eye, Deuteronomy 32, the Overcomer song, says that. And what happens is the apple in the Hebrew means pupil. So when anyone hurts one of God's elect or harms their work, God says it's like sticking your finger in God's pupil, the apple of his eye, and boy, there's going to be a slap. I can tell you that if you're serving God and people do you wrong, don't ever seek vengeance, don't ever sue. I was terrorized by drug gangs in my very first studio. These half-naked men drinking beer sat on my doors, back and front and side, so I couldn't get out, and terrorized me, intimidated me, and played loud music until I was almost insane. I finally did get out. And two other times I was terrorized at two other different locations of drug gangs. I was thrown out into the street. And God put me back up. I fought to get back up. I never sued. There were people could have helped, landlords and so forth, people that knew. I never sued. I never got even because I was too busy getting back up. I had a calling and I was going to get it done by the grace of God. Amen. And I am getting it done, praise God, by the grace of God. But you see, vengeance is God. Do you know that at that time, I read Florida Today and I saw every one of them. Something terrible happened to them. One of them lost their spouse. One of them went to jail. One of them's house burned down. You will notice that not much more than 6 months after someone's you, the pupil of God's eye, something's going to happen to them. Why, look at our wonderful Christian man, Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Look at that lawyer that brought these women to lie and say horrible things to ruin Justice Kavanaugh's life and reputation. Those women told lies. It's been proven it's a lie. But now that same lawyer, as the politicians say that chickens have come home to roost, he has been accused of the same thing. Now we always say innocent until, you know, proven guilty. But you can see it right there. It's right before your eyes. That's it. Because Justice Kavanaugh is a man of God, and God warned him on the Supreme Court. He's a Christian. He's an elect. And God said, that lawyer stuck his finger in my eye. Look at President Donald Trump. They set up trap after trap after trap for him. And we'll watch those snares go back on those who set the trap and get them. So don't ever try to get even. Don't sue at the law. God will take care of it. You're the apple of his eye.
43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off.
Now, don't take that literally. We don't want you to go cut your hand off. Here's what it means. Christians, you are the many-membered body of Christ. We're the body. Jesus is the head. The body has a hand, feet, eyes, etc. What it means, Christian, you elect, If you are associating in work or social life or any area of your life with those who are, hands means work, doing a wrong work, let's say in your workplace, someone is taking his hands and stealing your money. God says to sever that relationship, cut it off. That's what that means, understand? So anyone in your life, your social life, your family, cut it off. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you don't cut off those relationships that are doing wrong, they're going to pull you down.
It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell.
Hell there in the Greek is Gehenna. It's the garbage pit outside of Jerusalem. The way they disposed of their garbage was they burnt it. Day and night, there was so much garbage, they even put dead animals in it. And the fire would burn day and the fire would burn night. And that's the garbage, Gehenna.
Into the fire that never shall be quenched. 44, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
Because of those dead animals, the worms, the maggots would crawl in and crawl out. And the worms crawl in and the worms crawl out.
45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off.
If someone in your association, your social life, going out to dinner, your relationships, your workplace, your church, if their feet are going where they're not, maybe they're going to the wrong kind of teaching, like the lifeline proverb, like all those bad things, places, cut it off. Sever the relationship. We don't hate the people. You witness to them, you warn them, but you do not socialize with them. They're going to pull you down.
For it is better for thee to enter halt into life and having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
And the worm crawls in and the worm crawls out.
47, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out.
In the Old Testament, a prophet, a prophetic utterance, a prophet or prophetess was called a seer, S-E-E-R. They see into the spiritual realm. They do prophetic utterances. That is good if it's true. But if you're going to a place that's seeing God's word in a wrong way, or seeing things that are not right, away from Jesus, away from the Bible, cut it out.
For it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. 48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
Now, I want to explain to you that fire will be the lake of fire, which will come into existence at the end of that 1,000 years reign. Remember, day with the Lord is 1,000 years. We'll be in our spiritual body, so it'll just seem like a blink of the eye. After the great white throne judgment, all of the devil and all of his evil angels and all people who are not saved will walk into the lake of fire and be blotted out. The smoke of their torment will go up forever. That means that what was in the fire is forever and ever blotted out. Now, why does he say that it's better entered a life maimed or halt or whatever? Because these associations you have, some of them you love these people. You got soul ties to them, but you've got to cut it out. But it hurts you. You grieve. You have to break up with that person because they're not equally yoked. You have to sever that work relationship because they're hurting you. But it's been a long time. You have to cut yourself off from that friend. Even the family members, you love them, but there are some family members you can't be around. They'll bring you down. But it's better that you grieve a little now because you're going to be made whole in the eternal heaven on earth.
49, for everyone shall be salted with fire.
Now, there's going to be the fire test for the Christians, but you're not going to have to go in the lake of fire. In other words, God's going to judge your works after you were saved. If you weren't supposed to work after you were saved, he would have called you home as soon as you accepted Jesus. He's going to have a fire test. Paul talks about it in Corinthians. And if your works are silver, gold or brass, you'll get a reward. But if your works are wood, hay, stubble, they're burned in the fire, they are of no good, you yet shall be saved, you just won't have your clothes on. Revelation 19 says that the gown you're going to wear for all eternity is woven by your good works. Do you understand? So you send your good works on to heaven. That's the fire test.
And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt.
Jesus is quoting from his own word, which he wrote, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 2. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 2, which God says, when you bring your oblation with your meat offering, remember they would offer the animal sacrifices, he says, be sure to season it with salt. And he says, don't let the salt of your covenant go lacking. And he said, whenever you bring an oblation, make it seasoned with salt. Now, salt is good. In early America, they had no refrigeration, so when they butchered their animals, they would salt down that animal to preserve the meat. Salt is also healing. In some areas in the weather, people take salt tablets. Do you know that you need some salt in your diet? Did you know that? And the world tells us not to ever eat salt. Good salt, sea salt, good is good. And if you don't, you'll be sick. So salt preserves and salt heals. Here's what he means. Have you grown bored with going to church, with reading the Bible, with praying? Are you praying like a robot, saying all the right words? Are you just going to church, ho-hum, time to go to church? Are you singing, but just singing? Are you praying, but just praying cold prayers? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, white hot, seasoned with salt. Have you lost your first love? Jesus said in Revelation, go back to your first love. In other words, there should be no prayer, no place, no word, no song, no giving. Even your tithes should be jumping around the room. I love, the more money I get, the more I'm going to give to God. And I just dance away on that. In other words, don't lose your passion. Remember how you first met Jesus and you fell in love and everything was wonderful. You opened your Bible, it was good. If you're reading your Bible, ho-hum, you're in trouble. Come alive, come alive. The head's not dead. Body, come alive because the head's not dead. In other words, don't you pray anymore rote prayers. We don't want you to read the telephone book. Pray with power. Don't worry about what people say. Sing, whatever you do. When you give your offerings, give it. When you come into church where God is, shout hallelujah. Be salty. And if other people seeing that life in you instead of that dead, lukewarm, tepid, there's no place for lukewarm, tepid. Jesus says tepid, lukewarm makes him sick to his stomach. He'll vomit you out of his mouth. Let's have a little salt. Let's have a little passion. Let's just show the world how much joy is our God.
Amen.
50, salt is good. But if the salt hath lost its saltiness, wherewith shall you season it?
What good are you to pray dead prayers, to never have any zest? Oh, let's have some zest. Enthusiasm brings success. We'll be enthusiastic about a ball game, or a new job, or a new car. The greatest gift you'll ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of God himself. Where is your enthusiasm? I know you have troubles. Guess what? I do too. But I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy, no matter what's my way. I'm going to be excited about this one who loved me and died for me. I'm madly passionate in love with him. And no matter what comes, every day of my life, I'm going to be madly passionate about him. I'm going to be salty. Go and be salty.
Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another.
God bless you. We'll pick it right up there next time. Yeah. It's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida. I call it the Garden of Eden. A man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. I mean, don't lose that passion, right? We got to keep that passion for our Lord.
Got to keep it, yes.
Amen. Okay, our question tonight, does the caravan have anything to do with the second coming?
Yes, that caravan of invaders that's trying to get to our borders. Absolutely. This is in the Bible. We're at the close of the fifth trump now, a time of learning. The sixth trump is about to sound. That is when the Antichrist will appear and call himself God. He's going to set up the one world government because he's going to be God of the whole earth. So what he's doing is sending his ilk on ahead to try to break down the sovereignty of the United States of America. But remember, the 10 tribes settled here, and so we are the seed of Abraham. And all the other nations have folded and are coming into that one world thing, but we've got a trump on our side. We got the fifth trump on our side. And so, yes, that's come to break down and to destroy our country so that we don't have any control. But we're not totally going to have that happen. Now, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Our Lord is word and love, and a revealer of both. Ever moving, never changing, consistent in his spirit and truth. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3.
That is beautiful. I love that. Call unto me, I'll show you great and mighty things which
you
know not.
And he does too, right?
He does. Amen. I know. Now that'll stir up the passion.
That will.
Thank you so much, Scott Mercer. That is so beautiful. That's one of my favorite. I pray that scripture every day. I'm going to pray for the sick now, but just before I do, get your sick ones ready there around the radio, around the internet. But I'm going to first of all pray for you if you're not saved. I want you to be saved. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Pray this prayer with me from your heart and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins.
Please wash away all my sins.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Guide me into all truth.
Guide me into all truth.
And use me,
Lord,
to enhance the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To enhance the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that, I'm going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes. Please feel free to call and let me know that. Now, let me pray for the sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the golden oil of heaven's healing virtue flow down from heaven onto people now. Wherever there is pain in the groin, stop in Jesus' mighty name. Blood clots dissolved. Blood clots dissolve in Jesus' mighty name. Arteries be made whole in Jesus' name. Nerves be unpinched in Jesus' name. Feet be healed, be made straight. Backbone, spine, shoulder blades get into right position. Everything in perfect alignment. Any part missing in your body, let God create a new one. He's the creator of everything. Let headaches, migraine headaches be gone. Let those lights be gone from your eyes. Oh, let the pain go. Let the legs be strong. Let the head be strong. Let influenza and colds be gone in Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow into you. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Praise God. We give God the glory. Amen, amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that and you were healed, also feel free to call me and tell me. Let me give you my telephone number again. Area 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. I want to take this moment to give a shout out of appreciation to the man of God, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend Scott Merson, for his beautiful Scott stuff. We appreciate you, Scott, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Sherry.
Now remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now remember, everything you get is not yours to keep. So go and tell others the good news, all these wonderful secrets and truths you are learning. Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you and thank you for listening. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And I can't wait until next time when you and I are going to get together as the family of God, men, women, boys, and girls. And we're going to hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. Tune in next week at this same time for the Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
Gloria in excelsis.
Listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
Word of the Father, now in flesh. adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
From rejected to accepted, from forgotten to remembered, from the victim to the victor. Who we are is not the same, and the change is night and day. No longer orphans, now sons and daughters.
Said the night went to